to the book of Luke chapter 1, and while you're turning, we'll start. There are many characters you will see in the Christmas pageant. Of course, Mary, Joseph, baby Jesus, wise men, even though they're time-wise, they are not supposed to be there, wise men, shepherds, animals, and there is a vicious King Herod. Now, among those characters, there's one character very near to our heart is Mary, because she is the mother of Jesus. Whenever we hear the word Jesus, we know that somehow we think that automatically is the mother of Jesus. If you don't have a Bible, would you raise your hand? Some of you guys sitting there without Bible. Okay. Anyone else? Keep your hands up, please. It's okay. You need a Bible. There's one. Dave, thank you. Okay. We automatically think that it would be the Mary, the mother of Jesus. Rightly so, no other person in the human history that had the responsibility of raising the Savior and God Himself as her son. What amazes me is that Mary was a teenager herself, about 14 to 16 years old, young teenager. And can you imagine a girl of that age having a child and she is told that the child she's going to have is not by man but by God, and same time that child's going to be the son of God. It is the son of God, not going to be. I thought about this kind of thing. I know it's going to be silly, so bear with me. What if Mary was an American teenager? What would this, the way she would say it would be a little bit different than a Hebrew teenager would say. She would say something like this. You know, get this. Check this out. The angel came last night to my room, and get this. And He told me the Holy Spirit is going to be upon me, and I'm going to have a child, and he's going to be his son, and I'm going to be his mommy, and he's going to be son of the Most High. Ain't that cool? And he has this totally cool designer clothes. I think it's from Tommy Hilfiger, I will guess. That would be a concept. It was a completely surprise to Mary, to anyone. That's where we're going to find. Now, today, this morning, we are going to see the kind of overview of Mary's life. What the Bible mentioned about her life. So we start at the book of Luke, chapter 1, verse 26, and we will start with a prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you, seeking you, to know the truth about your Son, Jesus Christ. Through Mary, the mother of Jesus, no vessel you use, speak to our heart. Let us learn from Mary, the godly woman. And we also pray for our troops around the world who are lonely without family. Draw them near to you. Let them know your presence. If they don't know you, they may come to know you. And we also pray for the law enforcement and the firefighters around the community. And they may be safe in your hand. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 26 of chapter 1 of the book of Luke. Now, in the 6 months of the angel Gabriel was sent by the God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph. And of house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, put number one there, please, highly favored one, and number two, the Lord is with you. Number three, blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, considered what manner of the greetings this was. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, For you have found favor with God, and behold, you will conceive in your womb, bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. And Mary said to the angel, How can this be, since I do not know a man? And the angel answered and said to her, The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Underline overshadow, please. Overshadow you. Therefore, also the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. And now, indeed, Elizabeth, who's your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now 6 months for her who was called barren. For with God, nothing is impossible. Then Mary said, Behold, maidservant of the Lord. Underline next phrase for me, please. Let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. Nazareth is a kind of small town, small village. That's what you would see, Nazareth. This is Nazareth up there, down there. It's about 70 miles northeast of Jerusalem. And it's known to be, during that time, it's a tough town and a low moral and a corrupted town. Now it's occupied mostly the Arab people and a few Christian people. Mary is betrothed to Joseph. That means that she's going to get married to Joseph pretty soon. When the couple is betrothed, and that means there is more than just engagement. There is a step, engagement and betrothal, and then wedding. Betrothal requires faithfulness from the both party. Only way that you can break the betrothal is through going through divorce. It's that serious. Now, the angel Gabriel had three things he told Mary before he gave the news. Is number one is, first, she is highly favored. Number two is, the Lord is with her, and she is blessed. Folks, that applies to all of us. We are highly favored. Those who are in Christ Jesus, we are highly favored, and we are, the Lord is with us, and we are blessed. All this comes true to Mary, and as a unique privilege, raising the Son of God himself. Roman Catholic prayers start with Hail Mary and full of grace. That is correct. Full of grace. She received not the Hail Mary portion, but the full of grace is correct. She received grace from God up to full, to up to brim. However, that grace is not to dispense. That grace is received from God Almighty. And that grace is applied to you and me, if we choose to receive him. Mary knew exactly what the angel Gabriel is calling when he said, you will receive a son, you will conceive a son in your womb. If you remember the Isaiah 7:14, let's go there, Isaiah 7:14. Keep your finger, no, I guess we're going to change it so it doesn't matter. Isaiah 7:14. Isaiah located in the Old Testament and right before Jeremiah. It reads, Therefore the Lord himself give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. Mary's question was logical. Since she doesn't know any man physically, and how can I conceive a child? This same question was asked by Zechariah, her uncle. However, Zechariah was asking the question in a skeptical manner. Mary was asking a question with wealth-based, a wonder-filled faith. It's a complete different way. Angel's answer was the power of the Holy Spirit, the highest, the most high, will come upon her, overshadow her. That overshadow, when you look at the Greek definition, it says to cover with a cloud. You know, remember the Old Testament, and there is this kind of glory came down to the Holy Temple, and the priests had to get down on their knees and their face because the cloud was so thick. That is the same kind of idea, they're covered with a cloud. Mary's response was great, and that's the kind of response God expects from all of us, all believers. Let it be known. Let it be according to your word. Let it be done. This took more than just a simple saying yes. It took faith. Why it took faith? Remember, Mary was a virgin. She does not know any man physically. That means when she say yes and she's with a child, that means false accusation and the stares will fly from the neighbors, and especially from Joseph, the one whom she is going to marry. It's become an embarrassment to the family, and also that can be ground for the death penalty for her as an adultery. However, she said, let it be done according to your word. Simple trust in God overcame this kind of problem. Mary was obedient to the Lord. Let's go to another verse. From the Luke chapter 2, verse 6 and 7. Luke chapter 2, 6 and 7. Okay. So it was that while they were there, the days were complete. They means the Joseph and Mary in Bethlehem. Days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her first son and wrapped him in the swaddling clothes and laid him in the manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Many people collect the nativity scenes or the pictures, figurines. So far, I have not seen any nativity scenes that exactly represent this scene. Why? Because all the nativity scene is so clean, so looks so holy. At this time, there's nothing holy about it from the onlooker's stairs. See, I have not been any stable where the place is sanitary, attractive, and fit for the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Any stable had a stink. It stinks and it's dirty. And these people, this new brand new mom and dad, earthly dad, didn't even have a fancy and nice crib for the baby to lie down or the warm jammy for the baby Jesus to wear. They put him in the swaddling clothes and then put him inside the manger where the animal would eat from. While Mary was nursing baby Jesus, and she was holding this seems so helpless child, she couldn't stop thinking about that this is the God Almighty held back the water of the Red Sea so the Israelites could come across on the bottom of the sea floor. While she was touching the baby's rosy cheek, and she couldn't stop thinking about this is the very face, that is God's face, even the Moses, the great leader of Israel, was not allowed to see. While she was holding the tiny hands of baby Jesus, she couldn't stop thinking about this is the very hand that flung the star in the universe, and this is the very hand could measure the universe with the span of his hand. So we're going to continue in verse 33 in chapter 2 in the book of Luke. Time passed. Now it's time for the dedication of Jesus Christ at the temple. Verse 33 says, Joseph and his mother marveled at those things that which were spoken to him. And the Simeon blessed him and said to the Mary, his mother, Behold, this child is destined for fall and rising of many in Israel. For a sign which will be spoken against, yes, a sword will pierce through your own souls also, that the thought of many hearts may be revealed. Joseph and Mary brought the baby Jesus into the temple for the dedication to the Lord. Now it's a time for, it was a time for the baby dedication. During the time, Holy Spirit led this man, old man, known name is Simeon. He's just and devout, and he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. And then, led by the Holy Spirit, he went into the temple and encountered Joseph and Mary and baby Jesus. And as the Holy Spirit led him again, he gave a prophecy and a word of knowledge to the mother. And he said, a sword will pierce through your own soul also. She did not know what kind of future this little child would have. And all of a sudden, his future is unfolding in front of our eyes. It's not going to be easy life for him. She received God's call, God's will, over her desire and concern about her son's safety. Now let's go to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12, verse 46. Keep your finger there and we'll continue. Ever since Jesus was born as the firstborn of Mary, the Son of Most High, he started a ministry. Now, earthly ministry when he started, it was sometimes when he was 30 years old. Mary was hearing bits and pieces of news about Jesus because he left home. She's hearing that he is healing many men from their sickness. And he is casting out the demons from the demon-possessed people. And also, she's hearing the news about the feeding many thousands of people with a mere 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. That's not the only news that she got. That would be great. But also, she is getting the bad news about him. That he's making many enemies. Names, there would be the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes with the authorities. Seems like it doesn't bother him for him to go against with these people, powerful people, toe to toe. So, to make the matter worse, even his brother, like Judas and James, thinking that their own brother Jesus is going crazy and is gone mad. So Mary had to do something to protect her son Jesus from these powerful enemies. So she came to him near the Sea of Galilee. That's where we find in verse 46. While he was still talking to the multitude, behold, his mother and brothers stood outside, seeking to speak with him. The one said to him, "Look, your mother and your brothers are standing outside seeking to speak with you." But he answered and said to the one who told him, "Who is my mother and who is my brothers?" And he stretched out his hand toward his disciples and said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of God, will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother." The answer she got from Jesus is kind of a quick wake-up call to her soul. So far, she's been thinking about his earthly safety. But she realized that he came from heaven above. This must he go through. This is something he must endure. She quietly backed off from the presence of Jesus and never to bother him again. Did she love him? 1,000 times, yes. Was she concerned about his safety? Many times, yes. But yet, she realized this must be done. And she remembered the old man, Simeon's full knowledge about him toward her. The sword will pierce your own soul too. It came true in a few months. Let's go to John chapter 19. Verse 25. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing by, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her to his own home. As I said, the comment by the old man Simeon came true. Now she's standing at the foot of the cross of her son Jesus, and looking up, and I'm sure a joy and a laughter they had shared together is flying in front of her eyes, her teary eyes. And she's wondering what's going to happen. Now he's going to die. What's going to happen? Somehow this seems like the hope is going to go away. Remember, the crucifixion was for common criminals. She knew better. Jesus is not a common criminal. Come to think of it, she cannot remember one single incident that he caused a problem or sin against her or fought with his siblings. Not one time. Her neighbor would have said what a wonderful son she had until now. In the midst of his excruciating pain, he was concerned about her, saying, "Here's your mother and here's your son." Asking his disciple John to take care of her. Mary did not have a knowledge of the doctrine of incarnation. She could not understand how the God can be in human form, nor she can understand how God in heaven, Father in heaven, is going to orchestrate the future after the crucifixion of his son, Jesus Christ. One thing is clear. In her mind, she needs a Redeemer just like any one of us because she is a sinner herself. Listen carefully, please. If Mary can speak to us, she would tell us, then do not worship me, but worship God. Worship Jesus alone. No one under heaven can be saved in any other name other than the name of Jesus Christ. Mary is not called Redeemer with Jesus. There is one Redeemer between God and man, that is the name of Jesus Christ. It is important for us to realize that Mary is a wonderful, godly woman. We should respect her. Her dedication and her devotion. But that doesn't give us any possibility for us to worship her. All right. Some people have a hard time understanding the virgin birth. If you believe this Bible that is on your lap, you must believe the virgin birth. You may say, "That's impossible." Exactly. That's why it is virgin birth is a miracle. Let me put it this way. Come to think of it, virgin birth is a very logical thing. If God sent Jesus Christ as a sinless person, as an adult, with a shaft of light from the heaven to the earth, and Jesus standing in the midst of us, can we relate with Jesus as one of us? No, we cannot. All right, let's go to the other option. Let's say that God Father sent Jesus Christ to ordinary human mom and dad, but fully divine? Can we really trust that that is God Himself? No, we cannot. So virgin birth is logical choice. He is 100% God, 100% human. He took a human form to identify with us as a sinful human being. Yet He was a pure and He was a sinless human being. And the Bible says He knew no sin, became a sinner for us. Let's go to one more portion of the Bible verse. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Philippians is located right after Ephesians in the New Testament, right before Colossians in the New Testament. It reads, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it a robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of bondservant, and coming in the likeness of God, likeness of man, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name. And at that name of Jesus, every knee should bow, and of those in heaven, and of those on earth, and of those under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." The event of incarnation is the reason for the Christmas season. Christmas is an opportunity for us to worship Him for what He's done for us. This is not the gift-giving season. The true gift is from heaven above, Jesus Christ to mankind. Listen carefully, please. It does not matter how many times people come to church. They may have all the godly aspects except Jesus Christ, that person still go to hell. It does not matter how good that person is. It doesn't matter how much money he gave to the charitable cause. It does not matter how many times he went through ritual of baptism or communion. Bottom line is, does he have Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior in his heart or not? If he doesn't, he's saying no to God's offer, the only offer that allows humankind to go to heaven. If that person does not accept Jesus Christ into his heart or her heart, that person will not enter into the kingdom of God. Unless that person is born again, according to red letter that is in your Bible, if you have a red letter translation, version, what Jesus said, that person will not enter into the kingdom of God. And some of you might say, well, all roads lead to heaven. According to my Bible, according to the Bible on your left, John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man come unto the Father but by me. That means there is no other way. And you may say, that's not how I believe. Listen carefully. It does not matter how you believe. You can believe the gravity is not existing and try to climb up the mountaintop and see what happens. You jump off. What do you know? Gravity still exists. You can fervently believe wrong way. Folks, listen up. If you walk out the door and say no to God and His invitation, your hearts become callous than ever before. God is inviting you. His arms are open to receive you. Don't say no today. Wouldn't that be great? You come to know Jesus on the day of Christmas. Couldn't find a better day except Resurrection Day. And the rest of the 363 days, any day is a good day. Come to know Jesus. Let's stand up and pray. I'm going to ask you to close your eyes, bow your head. Don't look around.